Record.
Recording, making kilobytes.
Making them kilobytes.
Making them.
All right. Now, I got to tell you, the last clap we did, I just edited it.
Yep.
It was the best one we've ever done.
I told you.
It was perfect.
I told you.
But, well, let's try it again. Let's see if we can go 2 for 2.
2 for 2.
2 in a row. You ready?
I am. Let's do it. I'm closing my eyes. Are you closing yours?
All right. No, I'm not closing my eyes. I'll cast my gaze elsewhere. How about that? I'll just look away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
I think that was almost as perfect as last week. We'll see in the edit. I know you're disgusted.
The streak ends now.
Always disgusted.
So you had a birthday.
I did. Had a birthday.
When was your birthday? Yesterday?
Yesterday. August 30th.
August 30th.
Yeah. So.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Your wife congratulated me.
Yeah.
And.
Nice. I did too. It was from all of us.
Yes. We laughed at that this morning when we woke up.
What did you do? Did you celebrate?
So it was kind of funny because I was certain. She took me out to. She was like, we're going to go out of town. And we started driving and we get into this industrial area. So I was pretty certain that we were going to go shoot guns.
That sounds cool.
It was not a gun range. It was a big barbecue place. Because we don't have that many of those here. So it was a pretty cool barbecue place. And two of our friends and their little kid were waiting there for us too. So, or met us there. And we had a little barbecue at that joint.
Sounds pretty good.
It was really good. It was called... The name escapes me right now, but it was cool. It was basically named after the place, but in English. It was called Mugwort. I can't remember what Mugwort means, but it's something.
Mugwort barbecue. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. It has something to do with like the seasons of the year or something like that. It's named after the whole place. It was out on the countryside, so we ate there and walked around and. I got concert tickets for my friend.
Yeah, Bon Jovi?
No. We're going to a concert in January. So I'm excited. I haven't been to a concert in forever. And I got concert tickets for a January show. We're going to see Necrophobic, a Swedish band from Stockholm, actually. So I think that's going to be fun. I was just excited to just hear the news that it's actually going to be a concert.
Yeah, that would be cool. It's weird that we're already looking forward to shit in January, though.
Yep. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Happened. Yeah. Actually, believe it or not, I almost have my Christmas shopping done.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Well, I had a good idea. I just had an idea. It was one of those things you had to get done early. Obviously, I can't say what it is because, you know, Christmas. But, yeah, I was like, oh, I want to get this thing. So, I was like, better get on it. And I did. So,
it'll work. Every week is Christmas at our house.
Is it?
There's always packages being delivered.
Oh, I thought it just meant because, like, your Christmas tree is still up.
No. That will be horrible. That will be awful. No, it's just women be shopping, as they say. But she actually calmed down a little bit. She calmed down. She's getting better. But there's always something arriving.
You like shoeboxes? Everything. Right about your size?
Yeah. Yeah, that too. No, I haven't ordered any shoes since COVID. I actually stopped. I ordered a lot of shoes last year. I put my money elsewhere.
Yeah.
Others, yeah.
We actually got a new mailbox.
Oh, you did?
We got a new mailbox, and it's like this smaller mailbox. And apparently the people at the post office were complaining to each other about the fact that of all the people on our street, we are the ones that got the small mailbox because all we get is packages.
Yeah, that sounds very counterproductive.
Like package, bill, package. Yeah. So
why did you downgrade?
Might have to rethink that. We just need a new mailbox. We just grabbed one. We weren't really thinking about it.
Someone smashed it up?
And then, you know.
The old one?
No, it was just old. It had like a wooden post and it had just rotted away over time. And we kept like trimming off the bottom of it because it like would rot. We'd trim it and rot and trim it. And so finally the mailbox was like a foot off the ground.
Yeah.
And we were like, this is a little bit silly.
I would love to get one of the, because we live in an apartment. I would love to get one of those mailboxes mm-hmm. outside of the door with a, where they can drop like bigger packages. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
And I think we would be allowed to, because there's some packages that are like almost fits through the slot in the door and they don't fit. So we have to go pick them up at the store where they have like the post office thing. But it would be great to have like a little bigger box outside so people can just drop and you can just unlock it and get your shit. I don't know. It's just something I've been thinking about.
Would be nice.
Mm-hmm. So how was your weekend? Except for all the Christmas shopping you've been doing.
It was good. We borrowed a dog.
You borrowed a dog? Like testing out how it feels to have a dog?
No, not even that. Not even that. It's just like a, like you can go up and so you can go up to the pound where, you know, they take dogs and, you know, whatever. But they have dogs there for adoption. And we went and checked one out, and the deal is you take it with you, you go around and do some cool shit with it, and then you, like, throw it up on Instagram and Facebook as, like, you know, your Instagram dog for the day
mm-hmm.
with the intention that somebody will go get the dog and rescue it.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had a dog on Saturday, and we took it to this swamp that is slap full of alligators. I was trying so hard to find an alligator.
You were trying to feed the alligators? With the dog? That's horrible.
No, you're not allowed to do that. There's signs that say specifically not to feed the alligators, so wasn't going to do that. But I thought it would be good to take a picture for you. And we never saw one, but I saw where there was like bubbles, and I didn't have time to wait around. Those things can stay underwater for like 2 hours, so I was like, I'm not sitting here and waiting for it to come up for 2 seconds to take a picture. Oh, but yeah, have. I had the dog, and it was cool.
So what kind of dog was it?
Like a coon dog, like a little beagle thing, you know, it was like a mutt, but it had just had puppies, so it had like huge nipples, and so I was like, I can't have a dog with huge nipples.
But you were considering like adopting it?
Yeah, but I mean, not really. Like, yeah, but no. Like, it seemed like the kind of animal that wouldn't bother us much, but then it's like, what's the point of having a dog and three cats if you're just gonna, if their main attribute is that you can ignore them,
you're
right off the bat, so
your cat's gonna eat them anyway.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the case. Yep. Yeah, because the cats are actually, this was a decent-sized dog, but the cats were pretty much the same size. And this is their house, so there's no telling what they would do to that poor animal. I'd go upstairs and, you know, it'd be wrapped up in toilet paper, locked in a closet or something.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, the good news is by not taking home the dog, I can go back next Saturday and get another dog or that same dog and just kind of have visitation.
So you're basically just going to keep borrowing dogs instead of getting one and taking responsibility.
Yeah. I'm like the what do you call it? Like the weekend dad dog owner.
The eternal stepdad, weekend stepdad.
Yeah, so I'll just pick up the dog and take it to do fun stuff. And then when it's time to do homework and all that shit, I'll just take it back.
Sounds perfect.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suggest it.
Yeah. Well, yep. We have a dog. I don't know for how long, though. She's getting up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess I should have been a little bit more sensitive with my remarks about the weekend visitation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got a similar situation with your dog.
Yeah, well, no. We have her for 75 to 80% of the time. So, okay. Yeah. But, yeah, she was with us at the barbecue. She was shitting her brains out all day today. We've been out walking. Because the guy who owned the barbecue place loves dogs, apparently. He was feeding, she got a whole, like, he basically gave her a short rib.
Nice.
She got, like, raw meatballs, and she was just like, she ate on that short rib until she was bleeding from her gum, so we had to take it away from her. And today, when we were out walking, it was like, it was just a nightmare. She was just shitting her brains out. She's a small dog, too. And I felt so bad.
Wow.
But she had a good time yesterday, so, you know.
Mondays, am I right?
Mondays. Yep. So she's exhausted. She's sleeping in the rocker chair now.
Well, happy birthday again.
Thank you so much. It wasn't an important one,
yeah.
But it was still
they're fine. All important.
Just one year closer from the cradle to the grave.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At a certain point, any birthday is an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't mind getting older year. As long as I'm healthy. Really, like I don't give a fuck how old I am. And I've been lucky enough to keep my hair. So
yeah,
that's cool.
You got a new haircut, I see.
Yeah, Friday. Had to.
Looking good.
Had to. Thank you. I had to do something. And didn't do the beard, though. Just the mustache. And yeah. I look like a, I don't know what I look like. Weird fucking scruffy thing.
You look like Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah? Thank you. Yep. You know, that's the ultimate
compliment
for me.
Yeah, so that's what, I mean, the connection's a little blurry, but from here, look just like Tom Cruise.
Oh, cool. Thank you. So, who do we have on today?
Man, this one just fell in our lap, and I'm excited. Mm-hmm. But we got Don Clark from Invisible Creature coming on, mm-hmm. and I've never met Don, and so it's like one of those deals. Like a lot of our guests, you know, we're at least acquainted with, and so we got introduced by our friend Grizzly Wheeler, who's working on a cool project, and he said he'd come on, and we'll talk to him about all the stuff he's got going on. And I mean, this is a Grammy nominated designer, part of a duo, Invisible Creature, that has done some pretty awesome work.
Yeah.
And continues to.
Always been a big fan, like forever. Before I even knew that, like what it was, I just saw that thing. It was a long time ago. I just saw that mascot of theirs and I'm like, that's cool. Whatever that is, I dig it. And it's just something that's followed along for a couple of years. So, like, my old office downtown, right next to it was the In Flames Bar, 2112. So,
oh, really? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a great bar, actually. It's a really cool bar, and they have great food, a lot of rare beers and stuff like that. So, yeah.
That's killer. I'd love to get there someday. I know it's a pretty awesome place.
Well, let me know if you come over, man.
I'll for sure.
A full tour.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
So Don, whenever you're not when you're not touring with your metal band anymore, tell us a little bit about what you do. Most of our listeners are going to already know about Invisible Creature, I think, but give us a quick rundown.
Let's see. Invisible Creature is an illustration design studio that I started. We actually started in 2000, but we underwent a name change in 2006. Kind of my earlier partner and I kind of split off mutually, and so Asterisk Studio was our first company in 2000, and we were basically just doing music packaging full time, and then websites for bands. This is before MySpace and stuff, so like we're old. But after 2006, we split off with my brother and I, Invisible Creature, focusing on design and print, not so much in music. I mean, we still do a ton of music, but the goal was to kind of branch out. But we make our own objects. We have our own, you know, shop that we sell just cool stuff that we want to make. That would be, you know, 20% of our income. 80% is through commercial illustration and design. And my wife and our family, we bought a farm 8 years ago, so we've got, you know, like 30 animals and horses and alpacas and goats. And yeah, so we It's a hobby farm. My daughters ride horses, and we're busy like just nonstop. So yeah, it's fun though. I wouldn't want it any other way.
I grew up in rural Illinois on farms, and being a designer and a creative, I was just always told that this wasn't a real job, right. You know, just like you hear. And so, my family will be glad to hear that you can do both at the same time. That you can have a farm and be a creative.
Yeah, I do want to say that it's not a. You know, money making farm. It's a petting zoo, basically. But you know, and this is something we wouldn't have been able to do 20 years ago. I mean, we're from the city. My studios were in downtown Seattle and areas around Seattle. So you know, I'm 45 now. We're older. So this is our chapter now. But I know that I definitely, you know, wouldn't have been able to. I wouldn't have enjoyed this when I was in my 20s. So, but yeah, we love it.
So you've got your studio right there on the property.
Yeah, I basically took an old barn that was on the property and turned it into our studio. You can see images of it on our site, but I kicked out the horses and goats and made it into my own spot. So yeah, I wanted a, you know, place that was kind of separate from the house that I could have clients to. That was, you know, cool, kind of a dream spot where, you know, I have three kids. I wanted to be close to them. And so yeah, it's super thankful that we were able to find this place. But to answer your question, where we're at, we're about 45 minutes from Seattle, downtown Seattle.
So one of the things I've been a fan of Invisible Creature for, I don't even know how I learned about y'all, but it just seems like forever, you know.
Same here.
But one of the things, like, whenever I do my work, like, I have this thought in my head, like, I want the finished product, especially like painting, that I want it to look like, my term is, it came from the store.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, like, you kind of divorce the fact that a person made this. It looks like it was, like, you know, made by somebody else or beamed in from outer space. And I feel like a lot of y'all's work is so polished and clean that it has that it came from the store look. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, we don't actually share a lot of our sketches and stuff because they're just so shitty. You know, I really, and that's actually one of my, I hate sketching. I hate, like, you know, trying to conceptualize something by sketch and then getting the client to sign on to it because it always looks so much different, you know? So yeah, I mean, that's I similar to what you're saying, like, you know, everything needs to ship that we produce, you know, like, so we get it, the idea is that we get it just squeaky clean and it's ready to go. And that's something that I just appreciate about other designers that kind of came before us. But you know, when it comes to like more of our painterly books and projects like that, like, you know, we want that, it's same amount of time is taken in care in that stuff, but there's more room for, you know, just those happy accidents and stuff like that. But what if it's vector work? The idea is to just keep it crisp and clean. And it's funny, I'm zooming in on stuff people will never see, you know, making those tight, those tight paths.
Right, right.
Like I usually say, like, they won't see it, but they will feel it.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's like Steve Jobs has that quote. It's like, you know, the back of the fence, something like this, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like the back of the fence needs to look as nice as the front of the fence. Even though you don't see it, you know it's there. So it's like,
exactly, kind of like that. Yes. And yeah. It's so funny that you bring up like how much you dislike sketching, and you said it, you do horrible sketches, because we brought it up before on the podcast. But so I was the one who told Jason, just make really shitty sketches and get like the concept signed off on. And once you do that, you're sort of locking in an approval for the whole hierarchy of the design and everything.
Like, yeah,
it doesn't have to be so fine. It can be literally a 3-minute sketch, just to like, and it's extra fast now with like iPad Pro, Procreate and stuff like that. So
right,
yeah, my sketches look like complete dog shit. Like the only thing is, like, you have a body of work to fall back on and tell the client, like, you know what the finished product will look like. So sketching, it's like, it's gonna look polished and clean in the end, but this is just the outline of what we want to do, and like 99% of everyone gets it.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I've fallen into this trap a lot where the sketches look too tight, and you know, then you produce final work and then the client's like, oh, but I like the sketch better, and you're like, no, you know.
Right.
So, and then I have some friends that sketch in vector, you know, and I'm like, I don't know how you do that, because that's like, you know, you're right in what you say in terms of hierarchy. It's like you show them here's the quick, just brain dump thought idea compositionally, you know, what we're going to do, and then it's going to be magical when it's done. And that's kind of what you're paying for. I don't want to give you something that's almost there and then you're kind of let down by or not as surprised as you should be by the final product. So
it's been working for me, but then I ran into a client that had almost no imagination whatsoever, and so then the sketch was like actually a huge roadblock that they hit and they couldn't get past it, and they're just like, well, I just don't know if I like any of this. And it was like, But right, you know, right. And almost like I knew that I should have showed them a completely blown out thing with them photoshopped into it, totally. You know, and then they could have got it.
So here's what I started doing, actually, because I was getting into that routine 2 years ago. So I actually have like a file, a PDF that I've created that shows sketch on one side, final product on the other. And I've got about 10 projects in there. And so I actually send those to new clients. So I'm like, here's kind of, so, you know, we haven't worked together before, just to show you our process. You know, if you look at like our NASA poster, here's what it looked like before. And so just so you know, when I present something to you, it's going to be, you know, personally, I like my freedom in how it's going to be in the final art. A lot of artists like their freedom in the beginning, you know, kind of like, I want to really dial in this sketch so that I can just like kind of like brainlessly create the final product. But I like brainlessly creating the sketch roughly and then going just dialing in the final. And so that's why the stuff for us looks a lot different in final than our sketch, because I'll have a better idea, you know, as I'm working. So,
and the shittier the sketch is, the better, because then you get more leeway. Like if you can get sign off on a really shitty sketch, then you're like, you get a bit more freedom in like how to make the final thing. And they're always way more blown away when the sketch is really crap.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But you always want to protect that possibility of a better idea, because so many times whenever it's like the 11th hour and you're just maybe not feeling, you know, you're not 100% on it, and then all of a sudden you have a better idea that you can do. If you're too locked in, you know, or it's already went through so many rounds of approvals, then it's like, oh man, I wish I could have done this better idea.
Well, that's the trick with books too. I've done a handful of books, and you know, you start off and you're kind of like, okay, where's this going? And then by the middle or end, you're killing it. But then you go back and you're like, ah, the first part could have been better. So you're kind of constantly with books. I find myself constantly revisiting and like, got to go back. So, yeah, man, it's a trick.
No, but what kind of design is like your, like what, like I'm a print designer, you know, Amir's an illustrator. Like what is your, what's the thing you just can groove on and want to do every day?
Good question. It, honestly, for me, it's the eclectic mix of stuff we get to work on. So I think if I was kind of focused on one thing, I would get a little stir crazy, but since our inception, I've always, that's why we came up with this kind of like ambiguous name. You know, I didn't want to be pigeonholed into like a certain type of design, or even if I wanted to design a chair one day, I didn't want that to be weird. So like the idea of invisible creature and folks not necessarily knowing who we are was like a really cool thing. And so, I guess, and I've just been, we're super thankful that clients, I guess, have seen that, but we have such a diverse range of who we work with. You know, whether it's creating a toy or an object for someone, and then I'm like, you know, illustrating something for Target, and we've got like a t-shirt drop we just did with a bunch of friends that did really well. And I'm always cooking up stuff, drops throughout the year for our shop to just keep me excited and keep folks, you know, stoked. And even when client work is like a little bit slow, like I've got these drops that I've, you know, planning throughout the year. So just keeping, you know, steady cash flow, trying to like, you know, especially this year, trying to be smart about liquidity, I guess, and just like you kind of don't know what's going on with 2020, so it's like, all right, let's try to plan as best we can. But
yeah, that be your own client model.
Yeah, totally. And I'm thankful for our audience that kind of like trusts us and you know, understands that when we're going to do something, it's going to be cool, and when you're, you know, when it arrives, like you're not going to be let down. And so super thankful for that.
So since you've been doing it for so long, have you, and you kept like a balance between like your own products and client work, has there ever been like a dream of becoming like client free, or do you like the balance of bouncing between both?
Yeah, good question. I actually love the balance. You know, the dream is to have your own line of products, be successful in a big chain store or something like that. But, you know, I have friends that's all they do is just retail, and it's a freak, you know, it's hard, man. It's hard to like chase those checks, you know, 90 day, you know, pay policies and stuff and returns. And I enjoy kind of knowing our audience is going to be 1,000 people tops. Like that's the max amount of people that are probably going to buy our stuff. So like, I enjoy kind of catering to them. And then, what ends up happening is clients see that and they're like, hey, we want to do that. So it's a cyclical, really cool thing that happens where I produce our own stuff, some big name sees it and then wants us to do it for them. So, yeah, no, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of stress in trying to keep SKUs in stores. And you know, our online store is not massive by any means. It's just the people that know who we are. And, if it grew, awesome. But it, you know, if it's kind of stays the same, that's cool too.
So how did the music get you into design? How did that come about? Have you been drawn forever, or was it kind of just a natural progression?
Yeah. So our grandfather was an illustrator at NASA, for over 30 years. And so he was, illustrator, graphic designer. And so he was kind of proof positive that, you know, you could make a living drawing. And so we, you know, we didn't know anyone else that was able to do that. So he's definitely the inspiration for us kind of getting into this. I mean, we drew as kids, we definitely were involved in the arts, but then we found hardcore and punk rock in like 1989, 90. And then that was it. I mean, we were like focused on becoming, you know, musicians and just touring. You know, all we wanted to do is tour and make friends and play loud music. And so that was for years and years and years. And then I kind of met my wife and I was like, oh, I kind of want to like get serious about stuff. So so that's kind of when I started working on records for friends, just designing, you know, CDs. I didn't know what I was doing. I'd literally go to Kinko's and I'd scan stuff in at like 72 DPI and be like, oh, that's it. So, you know, this is like early 90s. So that is kind of where it all started. Just from the connections that we had through music, all those years touring, you know, I would kind of approach a friend, hey, like, do you, you know, could I design your record or could I design a poster for your tour and stuff? And so that's how it all kind of started. And then kind of the MTV2 generation, early 2000s exploded and our friends were getting signed to major labels. And then, you know, we were getting to work with larger bands and it was 100% music straight for 5 years. So we've done like, I don't know, last we counted like 800 albums. It's insane. So, wow. And I think there's probably two good ones. So, yeah, we're getting ready to release a book and it's funny because some of the, you know, we want to include some that were popular amongst fans, but that we personally hate. And so we're like, should we include like, so anyways, yeah, there's just a lot of like kind of, you know, looking back, a lot of stuff that like we personally don't like that we did. We didn't know what we were doing, but became kind of, you know, big because of the band. So, yeah, that's the kind of trajectory. Then I started having kids and got more into illustration. I was like rediscovering like what I loved about Disney era art and the golden books and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I kind of just fell deeply into kind of the mid-century 1940, 1970 to 1970 era of art. And I haven't looked back. So, yeah.
That really shows up in the postage stamps, the dragons.
Oh, right
stuff
on.
Like that.
Absolutely.
It really shows up in that early Disney look.
Thanks, man.
I mean, it shows up through a lot of stuff, but I think that's one of them that like is really like nails that vibe.
Oh, thanks.
So you've always been on working for yourself then. You didn't go like that climbing up through agencies and going out on your own. You just went straight into fuck it, I'm working for myself.
Well, I actually did have a few design jobs. I like for a couple years. So that's actually how we got to Seattle is my buddy and I and my brother. We all moved up here for a .com design job. You know, this like Seattle was going to be the new New York in 2000, you know. It was like the East Coast was, you know, we were all going to be retiring at 22 driving Land Rover Defenders and like That's right. And that didn't happen. So that lasted for like a year and a half and then that's when we broke out on our own. But yeah, the dream was always like my heroes were kind of the guys like, you know, in their studio drawing, like, you know, I didn't even know what an ad agency was, you know, back in 2000. So, yeah, kind of that was always the idea is to kind of make a living doing what I love. I didn't want a staff or anything necessarily. And I've tried that. I've had people work for me and it never works out how it should. So, I like being small and independent. And that was always kind of the goal.
I would think having a grandfather that is an illustrator at NASA would give you a high level of confidence in yourself though and what's possible. I mean, you don't hear too much. I hear that and then I'm thinking about it's like, man, this guy probably retired and got a pension check as an illustrator.
Yeah, he was
like, that's pretty
very
awesome.
Blue collar, you know, like his stuff is insane. We've posted stuff on our site in the past. Actually, if you go to our about section, I think if you scroll down you can see some stuff, but you know, I look at his stuff and we're nowhere close. And he was like, you know, punched a clock, did it. He was, you know, that was his job. It was a 9-to-5 thing. And that's kind of how we've always looked at like ourselves, like very DIY. You know, we made our own band stuff back in the day, little stickers, zines and stuff. And that was, you know, I don't know if it was subconsciously inspired by kind of that blue collar ethic, but you know, when you're in punk bands, it's kind of that's kind of why you get into it. Cause you can do whatever you want. So, he was kind of larger than life. And, you know, to this day, we haven't even gotten close to how good he is. But that was kind of you know, I guess in our blood a little bit.
So, but right now you got this ICYMI going. Is that how it's pronounced, the abbreviation for it? Invisible Creatures and Friends T-Shirt Club, Season 1. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I posted like an In Case You Missed It post. I think that's what that stands for. I think that's what the kids are saying.
I thought it had, because it starts with IC, so I thought.
I know. You're right. I didn't even think of that. people are like, what is he doing? No, I had this idea like 6 months ago. I'm always kind of creating like invisible creature product drops. So, like, what can just a cool stuff, cool things that I want to wear or have, you know? And I think that there's, you know, an audience of this like-minded folks that want to, you know, buy some of that stuff. So, yeah, I, like 6 months ago, I had the idea to, you know, what if I asked some of my friends to give their, to do their take on our mummy or the barn or whatever they wanted to do. Like, I gave them zero input and split the profits 50-50 and just see how it goes. And I asked six friends and they all said yes. And so, it went like way better than I thought. But of course, like, you know, a lot of those guys have big, you know, huge followings. And so it totally makes sense. It went really well. Season 2, I've already got locked in. I've got some ladies on this one. Like, it's, people are wanting to be part of it, which is really cool. I had no idea. I want to start planning these seasons. Every summer, drop like six shirts from, you know, designers that I look up to and friends with and see how it goes. But yeah, it went overwhelmingly great.
I don't think you understand what you created, though, because every one of us that go to these like design conferences and see each other in kind of context, right. I know every single one of us were like, which one of these shirts is everybody else going to buy so that I don't show up in that shirt?
Totally. Oh, man. I'm not going to name names, but some did way better than others, you know, so I think I feel bad for some of my friends are like, oh, but, you know. I think that those are the ones you're going to see pop up at the conferences probably more. So
yeah, I did buy the Eric Marinovich shirt. I got the Dark Arts one.
I grabbed it. He did well. He did well. I mean, he's got a massive following. So yeah.
Yeah, and all of them are just great looking shirts. I mean, they're badass. And I really like. I'm not like. Like the tie dye, long sleeve tie dye. Like that's not my aesthetic at all. But I had that in the cart for so long. I was like, I think I could do it. I think I could just show up wearing this.
Dude, I kid you not. I have two teenagers and I have an 8-year-old, so 16, 14, and 8, and they could kind of care less what I do. You know, they've grown up in it. But as soon as the tie-dye shirt dropped, they were like, oh my gosh, Dad. Like, and they're like giving me their sizes and stuff, because that's like, you know, that's what the kids are wearing, you know? And they're like, so the tie-dye, Brett's designed it really well, and I think, you know, most of those purchases are under 25 probably, you know.
And that's got to be difficult as like a curator whenever you have no idea what people are going to send back to you, and then they're like, yo, check out this long sleeve tie-dye joint that's not necessarily your aesthetic either, but you trust them.
Exactly. And that was actually part of the thing, and I said in the beginning, I was like, you guys can do any shirt you want. Like, you guys can do anything you want. Just know that if you do a long sleeve tee and you've got prints everywhere, you know, your profit's less because it's just costing more. But, you know, Brett's shirt was $40, everyone else's was $30 because Brett's cost a little bit more. But that didn't seem, at first I was like, everyone should be the same, but, you know, if you're gonna like pile on the designs, which I personally wanted to have because I want to wear that shirt, you know, but you know, and he was cool with that. I think each artist just needs to know, like, whatever you're going to do cuts into your bottom line. But I don't think people are doing this project to get rich. I think they're doing it for, you know, for the love. But I've typically, my mantra has always been like, I don't want to release anything that I wouldn't wear myself. But I think like having kids has kind of changed that a little bit too. Like now, like the request for dad hats is crazy. You know, I'm like a straight bill guy, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've got like people like, you got to do dad hats. So like, I'm like, all right, I'll, you know, let's do it. My kids will wear it, you know? So yeah. It's weird. You know, I'm kind of like, I'm softening in my old age. So,
well, you know, you don't want to become that old man that shakes their fist and goes, oh, kids these days are,
get off my lawn.
They don't know what they're talking. Yeah. Get off my lawn. Yeah.
Old man yells at cloud.
Yeah, totally.
You don't want to be that guy.
Well, I mean, I've been literally dressed. I've dressed the same since 1991, man. So I'm like trying, you know.
So check out, next time you see, like, next time you're out with the kids, just look at any, like, how any mom has their, like, 3-year-old boy dressed It's just like we dress.
Exactly.
It's like little cargo shorts, a little black t-shirt, and a little hat. And it's like, damn, that's how I dress. It'll come back around.
Yeah, my style is the same as an infant child. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, it works. It's perfect. Yeah. So don't change.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got a lot of crap from my fiance about because I dress like that. Always have, always will. And all of a sudden, it became trendy, and she was really cool with it. So.
Exactly. No, you guys are right. Like, give it time, and it'll come back around for sure.
So, y'all have worked with just tons and tons of clients. I mean, y'all put out a ton of work. Like, I guess that's that blue collar aesthetic. But I see so many people that they do like they'll do one thing, and then they'll spend the next year pointing at that one thing. Right. It seems, but y'all put out so much stuff that it's like it just gets glossed over sometimes. Like we talked about 800 albums, but like y'all have been Grammy nominated, and you know we you say you do work at for Target, like it's me saying I do work for the local pizza place. You know, so how do you maintain that, like that casual, like humble attitude, like with all that stuff going on?
I think it's like, first off, I think I look at every day as like a kid, you know, like seeing things through those eyes, like super excited about what I get to do. You know, I was able to buy a farm, you know, my family, you know, lives here and I support them through art, and I'm just like always grateful, you know, and I really don't take that for granted. So there's that combined with me just always wanted to do something new. I kind of like, as soon as something comes out, like a week later, I'm on to the next thing, and I try to just keep going. And I think that's, you know, it's probably like a quirk that I have. I don't know if it's ADD or whatever, but I've just always like, you know, what can we do next? It'd be cool to do this. And I've got a list, you know, like I've been making a list for years. And, you know, the cool thing about being just one guy, and, you know, I work with my brother sometimes as well, but you know, I don't have to ask anyone if it's cool if I make this thing, you know, like I have, you know, we have an account that is dedicated to producing products, and the money that we make from the products goes back into the product fund. And so, you know, we've spoken at agencies over the years, and that's a question that I get a lot is like, well, we want to create our own toys and products, and, you know, and, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, you guys have to go through a lot of different, like, channels to get stuff approved, and you guys,
right.
You guys aren't you know, you guys aren't all gonna agree that a set of wooden blocks is gonna be cool. Like for me though, I know my audience, and I know that that's like something that designers want on their desk and maybe let their kids play with, but like I don't have to ask anyone. So I think the freedom of just being on your own, being small and nimble, and just like, you know, putting something out and not making a crap load of them. Like I don't produce, you know, other than the NASA poster, I don't produce anything over, you know, 1,000. So like, you know, that, and also pre-orders, man, I can't sell that enough. Like the pre-orders idea is great. People trust that it's going to arrive to them. And you know, you're not like sitting on stuff on the shelf, you know, you're not, you know, buying like 5,000 things and hoping they all sell. Like you have an idea because of the pre-order, and then you can add on to that for Christmas time or whatever. It's a really great model to go for with designers, I think, because you're not out of pocket, you know.
Yeah, I think that we have Wish to thank for that, because Amazon made it so people got used to getting their stuff like a day later.
Yeah.
But then Wish made it so that people get their shit whenever they get it.
So
yeah, it's like they don't mind 6 weeks.
Totally. And you know, that was what happened with the NASA posters. Is it's a long story, but they went viral and it went insane. And I basically made the posters open edition at that point because the world wanted them. So we made like 5,000 posters. It was crazy. So the thing about that is we're so used to our audience buying our stuff and understanding that it might take a little bit longer if it's a pre-order. But when you're selling to the world, I mean, it was me and you know, my wife and like a buddy shipping this stuff out, and like it was taking a while, and I would get complaints after complaints every day. Where's the poster? And it's like, dude, I'm a guy in a barn. Like a
tractor. Yeah. And it's a poster you're buying. It's not diabetes medication.
Exactly. But that showed me how.
And I have 30 animals to take care of.
On a poster. Yeah, exactly. I'm feeding the horses, man. Yeah, so it's weird.
Do you mind talking about process a little bit? Because there's been something. So it's funny, like things, like I have this memory and things stick in my head that, and then they like, kind of like how you get a song stuck in your head and you can't get it out. I just get images in my head. And I just have this image since you changed your website, however many years ago, of you with your standing desk. And it was right in the middle of this, like me arguing with like my millennial coworkers that all were like, we need standing desks. And then you put up a picture with a standing desk and I was like, oh shit, now we're all going to have to get standing desks. But just, I know, I've always just wondered about your process, like, yeah, like how you get down like on a project.
So yeah, I have a few different stations. Well, I have two stations. I have a standing station and then I have a sitting station. And I'm going to be honest with you. The older I get, the more I'm at the sitting station. But yeah, I try to rotate throughout the day, but it's like I said, like I sit most of the day now, but I was standing for like 3 years at that, you know, station. But I think it is one of those things where I've just gotten older. I'm also like more physically active with like working out and stuff. So I feel like, okay, that's juxtaposing a little bit. When I was doing the standing station, I wasn't really working out at all. So that's helped, you know. So I basically, the way that I work is I have a Cintiq, which I use for painting. So if I'm painting or shading or anything like that, that's like raster imagery. That's all done on my sitting workstation, just an iMac and a Cintiq. And then my standing station, I would do more like vector, you know, work over there. But yeah, that's, they're right next to each other. And I just got two iMacs, you know.
Right. Yeah. So just moving around and getting a change of scenery more than anything.
Yeah. Also, I would recommend too for the Cintiq, if you ever use one, I have it on a thing called an Ergotron, and that's like one. Yeah. So like I can actually stand at that station as well and paint if I want to. So, and the Ergotron's great. It's like $170 and it's really great. Like my worry was like, if I'm, you know, drawing on that thing, is it going to shake? And it's really not that bad. So yeah.
So with the farm, petting zoo or not, those animals need fed in the morning and need put up and all that. So how does that, like, I'm a big believer of like the 9 to 5, like this is a job. I don't want to do this till midnight every night and neglect my family. Yep. How do you balance those things? How do you balance the work?
So, you know, I tell folks, you know, I was fortunate to make my hobby my career, you know, so I didn't have a hobby in my 20s, you know, in my 30s, like I this is all that I did. And I worked a lot of late nights. Now though, since moving here and just kind of, you know, the company's more successful. I'm out of here at 5. So I typically get down here between 7 and 8, out of here at 5. In terms of who feeds the animals, that would be my wife and the kids. So like, those are my kids' chores. And my wife does the horses with my girls. And so I help with fencing and, you know, anything that maintenance, stuff like that. And, you know, both my wife and I are pretty, you know, hardworking and enjoy being outside. And so, but yeah, to answer the hobby question, I basically made, you know, outdoor, farm life my hobby, and I love it. So yeah.
Very cool. How many mouths do you have out there to feed combined?
5. So I've got, my wife and I and 3 kids. Oh, combined with the animals. Oh, geez. Combined. Oh, yeah, gosh. We're at 30. I don't know. Like we've got barn cats I don't know, man. We've got like, my son collects reptiles. It's insane. I don't like,
It sounds like an adventure.
It is. I enjoy it. That'd be, you know, but don't get me wrong. I'm bracing myself for the time, you know, in my 60s when I can't keep doing all this stuff. So I'm enjoying it while I can.
Well, we usually go about a half hour. We've went a little bit over that. So, sure. You got anything you want to plug or upcoming things, books coming out or anything?
Let's see. There's some stuff that I can't really talk about that'll be pretty cool that'll come out next year. But we do have some more kind of cool drops in the store, some collabs that'll be coming up. And Shirt Club went really well. I'm thankful to everyone who went out and grabbed a t-shirt. That was super cool. I'm just... if you're interested in what we're doing, I just say follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and just I'm always kind of cooking up new stuff. So there'll be another thing coming out next month, and actually every month, I think the rest of this year. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. So, invisiblecreature.com.
Yep, invisiblecreature.com or like on Instagram, at iCreature.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, this has been fun. I'm glad glad you came on with us.
Hey, man. You guys, thank you so much. Nice meeting you guys. And I know we have some mutual friends. So, yeah, let's keep chatting.
All right. That was one of the worst connectivity episodes we ever had, but it was still a great talk.
Yeah. I think your internet is by BT&T instead of AT&T.
Yep, that's what it is.
Which AT&T is not great either.
It is not. That's what I get when I come over to the States. It switches over to your, because we have a you know, like different operators in different countries. They have like a deal with like, so if I go over to the States, I get AT&T, and it fucking sucks.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. What do you got?
Sounds like fun. I have Xfinity.
Yeah. That's better, I guess.
I don't know.
Do you have
what's better?
I don't know.
Better's just what you wish you had when you have whatever you got.
Yeah, but do you have one of those free plans, like unlimited data?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, typically the way that I get down with anything, whether it be a phone or a car or anything, I just go in and I'm like, you know, hurt me as bad as you can. Like, give me the thickest part of, you know, the bat. Hit me with it. And then I'll just deal with that for as long as possible. So I hate like going, you know, if you like go and get like the cheapest phone and then you got to go back and keep getting the cheapest phone every year.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather just buy, you know, one phone that's made out of a diamond and only and have it for a decade.
Yeah, I've had my iPhone 7 Plus since 2016. And it's still working, but it's starting to get on my nerves sometimes. But I mean,
yeah.
Considering what it costs, it should last for 100 years.
Right.
But I might not.
You think so? I mean, imagine if every year you had to buy a new refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking ridiculous.
You'd be like, this is some bullshit. I'm going to eat dry goods.
Yeah. And,
Yeah,
I'm upgrading for the 5G phone, I think.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. But I don't want to. I don't want to give any more money to those fuckers. But, you know, eventually you just have to cave, fall in line.
You do. You do. Otherwise, you'll get left behind. You won't be relevant anymore. You'll have no friends and you'll die alone.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. That's why I keep upgrading my phone every 4 years. Just so make sure, yeah, I don't die alone.
That's it. That's why everybody should. That's the key. So I had a question for you. I was thinking about this, and mm-hmm. And you know, looking at like Invisible Creature is probably like, I think every designer looks up to Don, and it's just like, that's some like you. Everybody would be very happy to be at what level he's at.
At their level, yeah, for sure, and rightfully so.
Yeah, but how often do you compare?
Not so much anymore. Like, I don't know. I don't like doing that. Like. But do you mean like quality of work wise, follower wise, or like career stage wise, or what do we?
Whatever like beats you up, like just like you fold the most important. So yeah, I mean the follower shit, like that doesn't like to me. That's not even like a, and that's easy for me to say because I have like 5,000 Instagram followers. So it's like, oh, 50,000 followers, that doesn't mean anything. But, you know, wait until I'm there and it'll be like, oh, this is so important. But I just mean like quality wise, like whenever you do a project and like, you're like, hell yeah, this is great. And then you just like lean back and you open up Instagram and then you see something somebody else did and it's like, shit, my stuff looks like garbage because this guy's is awesome. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, it happens. That imposter syndrome when I like, and it's also, it's always like the same fucking handful of people. And I see something they made and I'm like, God damn it. Like, I'll probably be there in, I might be there in 5 years, but maybe then again, like maybe not. But I know like people I used to look up to and used to like consider designer demigods. And I feel like I'm pretty much on their level now, but I felt like I would never get there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that I'm just like, I'm never gonna fucking catch up. Like, I'm never gonna be that good at that specific thing. And some people are very like, I try to be a very diverse designer. Like, I still have my style, but I want to be good at, like, multiple things. I don't want to be badge guy or the mascot guy. I want to be, like, I want to make sure that I can do that, and I want to do woodcut cross-hatching, too, and illustration and packaging design and branding. Like, I want to make sure I cover a lot of ground, but not be also that horrible place where you can get Vietnamese food, Thai food, Chinese food, and it's all mediocre. Nothing of it is really good.
Right.
You want to be that place that has the best Thai food, but I don't know if that's a good analogy. But
it's a great analogy, because I want to be that guy that's at the roast beef carving station.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to be. I want to be the guy that's like standing there, and you look up underneath like the heat lamp, and you can kind of see him, and he's like just gesturing with like a big knife.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he's like, "I'll give you two pieces."
Yep. So how do you feel about that?
It happens, but I lately it's been the reverse. Like, I've seen some people that I really look up to put out some work that I just felt was kind of not their best work, and it kind of.
I love it when that happens. I really like that.
I hate when that happens. It's like watching Santa Claus's beard fall.
No,
off.
It feels like, oh shit, they're human too. That's awesome.
I don't want my heroes to be humans. I don't want them. I want them to all be taller than me and better than me and faster. I want to have to grab onto my woman when they come around so that she doesn't run off with them. That's what I want from my heroes.
Well, that's how you want them?
Yeah. I want them to take the whole roast beef.
You know what really makes me, like, I'm not going to get political, but as soon as people get too political on their, like, social feeds, that's when they completely lose me, no matter what fucking side they're on. Like, if they go too deep off the deep end, I'm like, okay, fuck this guy, and I just mute them. So that's something that can sort of shatter an image I have of some artist that I really look up to.
Well, I've seen different people kind of get into a niche that was weird, you know, not the same thing, but I've seen where, like, you know, a company was like, or a designer was just like, oh, now I'm into this, you know, lettering thing that I'm going to do for a long time, and it's like, oh well, I really like the stuff you were doing before, but I guess we all have to grow.
Yeah, I mean, there's also some people who, like, they want to be a bit too obscure and cool for the room, and you can tell that they're not being genuine about what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, they do a certain style and you really like it, and that style becomes really popular and other people start doing it, so they feel like, oh, now I'm just doing Xerox copied. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like, they make it a bit too hard to digest on purpose, and that just rubs me the wrong way too. There's a handful of those that I'm like, you're really fucking good at what you do. You should just evolve that style, but don't go into this fucking. Don't try to be Tim Burton when you're actually Wes Craven.
Yeah, it's like a guy, and I know specifically some of the people you're talking about, but it's like somebody is a great illustrator and they're putting out great branding, and then the next thing they do, it's a logo, is a photo of a potted plant in a room with a fucking mini blinds.
And they've Xerox copied it 200 times and put it on a...
Right.
They printed it out on a deodorant and put it next to a lamp. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you're just trying to make this... You're just trying to make it, I don't know, too obscure and weird. Like, fuck off. Make me a fucking sandwich.
Yeah, to where all the college professors are revering. You just love it.
You don't have to make that sous vide egg inside of the bread outside of the steak. Just make me a fucking sandwich. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that just carve me off some roast beef. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Just carve me off some of that roast beef, sir. By the way, you know, part of that too is that is a very respected person, that guy that's carving that roast beef, or that lady that's carving that roast beef. You respect the hell out of them, even though they're at a buffet making minimum wage and not sharing tips. You call them sir or ma'am.
Ma'am, sir.
That's what I want to be. That's my goal. Yeah. I want to be the design version of the roast beef carving station.
Yeah. What do you think about professions like that that suddenly become trendy? And those people become, like, they pretended they've been doing it forever. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, like an artisanal roast beef slicer.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many of those. Like, I think through the past decade, the 10s was the worst. Like, when regular blue-collar jobs, like running a little meat shop thing, became like they all had all of a sudden a pipe and a swirly mustache and tattoos in their face, and like they you guys never used to look like this. Why are you suddenly?
This is true.
And they're like, oh, I've been cutting meat for my whole life. My dad did it before me, and like no, you just picked that up. I don't know. It's one of those
Yeah.
things that's I feel like a lot of professions got that sort of like overhaul in the past decade that I didn't care for too much. Like a barista didn't
Right.
used to be a cool thing. It was just a guy making coffee. And all of a sudden it became
Right.
like, oh, he's in the world champions of baristas, and he's got like he also won the best mustache and oyster chucking. Like, go fuck yourself.
Right.
I don't know.
It seems like it'd be exhausting to have to wake up and put all that bullshit on every day, you know, to like to steam your vest, you know, your steam your vest and tie that big ass knot on your
Yep.
tie so that you can go be a barber or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that would be it would just be tiring, and at some, you know, there's just like a day where everybody wears a Hawaiian shirt to work and you can't do it because nobody would recognize you in a Hawaiian shirt.
Exactly. You can't come in with the Charlie Sheen outfit.
Right, it's like yeah, you can't come in the bowling shirt, the Tommy Bahama, and it's like it would suck because it's like Casual Friday, and your version of Casual Friday is that you don't wear a cummerbund or fucking tie tack that day. Like it just seems like it's like a little bit extra
Yeah.
to have to do that. But whatever, if it makes you happy, do it. Keep doing it. Go out and buy a straw hat and a corn cob pipe and you know go
And a tricycle
and a
or
tricycle. Yeah, ride around on your tricycle checking people's gas meters.
Yeah. That's what you should
Yeah.
do. Yeah, if that
Or
makes you happy,
repairing
then I don't
shoes.
know. I guess you're a douche, but go for it.
Anyhow, what you got coming up?
So
Anything?
Like I'm working on some fun projects. We actually have some one of our older client, like one of our not older clients, but it's like one of our bigger clients for Forefathers is a restaurant group, and we had some cool contracts lined up with them before COVID, and it all obviously had to be put on pause, and we had to cancel all those gigs, and they're starting to come back, so that's fun. Doing some of that, doing some solo shit, but what I'm mostly working on now is Garm Company. So it's what I'm doing, like, I think, like, at least 50% of my day is just trying to build that out, finishing that up. So building out that site and making sure all the products will come in on time. And I'm not gonna set a date for when we launch, but it's gonna be on the in the during the fourth quarter of this year.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we have the sign up page ready if you guys wanna go and sign up. It's garmcompany.com. So what are you doing? What do you got going on?
Well, I'm going, we have annual family reunion, and so I'm getting all my ducks in a row so I can go back to the homeland of Illinois and see my family. So I had a couple deaths in the family recently, and so it's
I'm so
probably a
sorry
good
to
time
hear
to go
that.
back up and visit. Yeah, you know, it's just, I think if it was a 2020, it's like, you know, you should be prepared for everything, I think. So,
Has there been
yeah, it's just
any
more
COVID-related
2020.
passings or?
No, these weren't, but they're unfortunate, you know, and so I thought it'd be a good time to get my ass up there and go to see my family because I have a big family and I moved away 22 years ago. And I've only been up to visit a handful of times, and so I need to get up there and all those kids and nephews and cousins and all those people that have no idea who I am,
Yeah.
you know, maybe they should see my face once in a while.
That's how I f yeah, I'm
So.
right there with you. I mean, we're both from cold places, and the older I get, the
Yeah.
less I go up and visit, but I feel like the same as you. But we go home every second Christmas, so this year we're going up.
And we've talked about it before, how I just always feel like I just saw people, so I don't sit and pine, you know, and miss people. I miss restaurants a good bit, but you know, I just always feel like I saw people, and so it just kind of fills me. It just kind of, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I could see somebody after not seeing them for 5 years and just pick up the same conversation I was having with them 5 years ago,
Yeah, I think that's a
and.
skill. Oh, that's very
Oh my
professional.
God, very professional. My phone. It's a client, so I have to go. I have clients calling me.
All right, so you know what we got to say.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just going to let it ring. Just going to let it ring.
Are you going to let it ring? Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. All right. Just kidding. I'm going to leave that in, though.
All right. Yeah. Do that. And let's do the Ralphie roll and get the fuck out of here.
Yes, time to Ralphie roll out this booch.
Yes.
Dude, Don Clark, that was a good one.
That was fun. He was awesome. And I'm so glad he came on so quick.
Thanks, bro.
One time I got invited to a Halloween party in Atlanta, and I did not go, and I found out afterwards that it was at Ron Livingston's house.
No fucking way.
Yep.
That happens.
It's my whole story. That's the whole fucking story.